Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Put on your thinking caps. Here we go. Gonna probe deep as you let me, and as much as time permits today, into the big C. We're gonna go after cancer. Gonna try to give you a deeper understanding of it. If you're over the age of 60, what are the statistics now? It's like 1 out of 3. Maybe we're gonna hit 1 out of 2. It's not really going down. As the ecosystem demolishes itself, those stats may get worse. There's a lot to learn. So let's see if we can get into some of the misconceptions about it. Let's understand that there's always solution. Definitely prevention. Okay, first order of agenda. Why all the genetic emphasis? The Angelina Jolie thing. The BRCA gene, over a 90% chance of getting breast cancer. Okay, fine, we get it. Here's the perspective. 300 years ago, no one was getting it. Now, we got to take a look at that amidst all the super techno talk. 300 years ago, certainly 400 years ago, definitely 500 years ago, you didn't see cancer. Don't listen to two arguments to that statement. Argument one is, we didn't see cancer because we didn't live long enough. Just look at the numbers. The estimated number is 300 years ago. 300 years ago is not really that long. Just look at the numbers, and it'll tell you that people just didn't live that long. If you take out infant mortality, and you take out maternal mortality, meaning the mother dying at birth or the child dying within the first few years of birth, those numbers changed drastically. There were a lot of old people running around 300 years ago. And we didn't see cancer then. So don't listen to that one. That one that says, well, the only reason cancer wasn't noted 300 years ago is because people didn't live that long. Nonsense. Number two, this idea that everyone got cancer just like they do today, but we just couldn't recognize it. That's also nonsense. And if you go into the social history is different than history. Social history is the day-to-day of life as social historians study it. So what did people eat? What did they drink? What did they wear? How did they talk to each other? We have social historians. If you go into this social history 300 years ago, America, Europe, what you find is that doctors knew what cancer was. When do you think? Take a guess when cancer started to increase in the population. During the Industrial Revolution, if you study social history, we started to see cancer rise. Well, it's only common sense, isn't it, when we started putting up factories? I mean, even at the turn of the century when we put up factories, those factories allowed kids to work 90-hour weeks. If you were little and you were needed by the family and you had to work in the factory because your immigrant parents didn't have money to send you to school and you just fell into the pot in the factory, well, you lost a kid and that was the end of it. You had 10 more. It was tragic, but life was tough. We had cancer back then. It's in the social historical record. We understood it in 1900. We understood it in 1800. But there weren't a lot of factories in 1800. But there were some. We were starting to mine and do all sorts of things in the 1800s. And this, if you look, is where we started to see the cancer rates go up. Why? because this is our first exposure in history, in human history, to chemicals. So it was there. It was noted. It was written down in the medical journals. Doctors knew what a tumor looked like. In America, in Europe, people did dissections. A tumor is not a difficult thing to see. Externally, if it goes external, and if you cut someone open, as Western history tells us we often did, the evolution of medicine from the 1500s was cutting bodies open. If you cut a body open and it's riddled with tumors, you're going to know something's going on. That word cancer goes way back. What's the point? The point is, today we're being told, now that we've got this outstanding insight into genetics, this case with Angelina Jolie being the most recent, now that we have all of this insight, all of a sudden it's about your genetic predisposition towards it. And yet 300 years ago, we didn't have any. No arguments tended here. Well, what does that mean? What did we just evolve and mutate our genes in the course of 300 years so that 300 years ago we didn't have those genes and now we do? It doesn't work that way. It's nonsense. If you understand cancer historically and you get through some of the nonsense arguments, you can see clearly there's something going on outside our genetics that drives it. End of conversation. That's it. That is it. Now, we can offer up epigenetics. Epigenetics is tricky. Epigenetics is abused by the holistic community. Shame on the holistic community. I didn't say the allopathic community. I said the holistic community, because what they tend to do, the holistic community, is take a concept like epigenetics and twist it to side with their rational view, their argument. And when they twist it, well, then they create falsehood, and then they're attacked for that falsehood. Epigenetics does not mean that every gene outside the mother gene, or every tendency that you have that you can hope to alter through environment, is environmentally controlled. Some epigenes, some satellite genes, some genes that 'll turn on or off the gene that will create the cancer. Some of those satellite genes are inherited as much as the mother gene. Meaning epigenetics does not mean environmentally controlled. This is how holistic medicine twists the notion. Epigenetics does not mean environmentally controlled. Some epigenes are environmentally controlled. The issue is, which epigene that may switch on or off a mother gene is under the control of an environmental influence that you as Joe consumer can regulate, and which of these epigenes is not? The show I did on Angelina Jolie a few shows back, review that. We really got into that. But we don't even have to talk about epigenetics. In other words, we don't have to tell the allopathic or the scientific community that we've got the safeguard of epigenetics against our genetic tendency to get cancer. Yes, cancer's in the family. Yes, we've clocked cancer back now, three or four generations. Yes, genetic testing tells me I'm going to get it. I've got a higher probability to get it. You don't have to go to the epigenetic argument. You could, but often you'll be incorrect because your epigene specific to that cancer may not be under environmental control. That's a subtlety. You got to get it. Holistic medicine often doesn't. They make fools out of themselves. But here's my point. You don't even have to go there. You simply have to sit back and reflect on our historical reality. We didn't get cancer 300, 400 years ago. It wasn't around. And that simply means we either mutated into a cancer-producing species in the course of 300 years, or most of our cancers in the environment, whether we can prove it epigenetically or not. You see? That's what I want you, Joe Consumer, to understand. And you can put 100 scientists in this room with me right now, And lots of them would say, Medici, that's a crock. That's the nonsense. And they'd have all their explanations and all their points of views and the rest of it. Sorry, gentlemen, common sense prevails. I submit to you, use your common sense. Every bit of everything I have ever studied, I have studied a lot, not everything, but much, comes down to something. In the end, you let it bake in your intuitive faculty where the common sense lives. And if it's not common sense, throw it out. Don't be overly impressed by statistics, by studies, and by science. Use it as a tool, but don't be overimpressed by it. Our perceptions of cancer, why we're getting it, why we didn't get it, why we're going to get it, should be heavily influenced by our common sense. And common sense tells me that if it wasn't around 300 years ago, it's about our environment. Done. Simple, isn't it? Clearly stated. And yet, that's not the prevalent view. Not at all. Well, for you it is. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. We're going to try to give some deeper understanding of cancer, the reality of it, the non-reality of it. Next concept. Cancer is not one thing. Now, what does that mean? Well, if you look at all the cancers, from brain to breast to bone, to cortical bone cancers, to testicular cancer, to ovarian cancer, to cancer of the large intestine, colon cancer. Where's heart cancer? Never heard of heart cancer. I'm sure there's a heart cancer. Have you ever heard of heart cancer? I haven't. Where's the research going into understanding why the heart doesn't get cancer? Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. Okay. I'm giving it away. Coral, aloe, vitamin D. First two people that can figure out why the heart doesn't get cancer. Generally speaking, I'm sure there's an exception. Can anybody figure that out? I'm not even going to tell you for 20 more minutes. So you got loads of time. Get on the website, straighttalk.cc, and that's not .com, two T's, straighttalk.cc. Get on, get into the comments section, and tell me why. There's no heart cancer. But here's the point. No matter what kind of cancer we're talking about, cancer is a cell that starts to replicate. Only it doesn't replicate completely. It replicates partially. So it doesn't differentiate itself into the same cell that it came from. It's an undifferentiated cell. It's only partly replicated. And in that it's partly replicated comes another trait. It just keeps on replicating. Now that's what all cancers are. So you can't say cancer is different from another cancer in that sense. They all share that quality. But the point is that what initiates that state of chaos, unprecedented replication, what initiates that is very variable. Is very variable. Toxic hormones can drive a cancer. Emotions can drive a cancer. Chemical infusions. If you're thinking that the poor woman that suffered so much emotional distress around the issue of men and relationship with men, from the father to the atrocities to this to that, and she manifests ovarian cancer, that's not the same cancer as a woman with ovarian cancer that lived through Chernobyl, or the poor people in Japan that are going to manifest cancers, or Hiroshima, Nagasaki. Those cancers in the ovary are not of the same origin in a sense, right? They both trigger a replication state that goes uncontrolled, thus the tumor, thus the metastasis, but they don't come from the same thing. So in that